Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, we welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and along with Sam Rohr, we are coming to you with an action-packed program. Gary Dahl will probably not be on with us during the first portion of the program, maybe the entirety of the program. He is away and has another obligation, but is attempting, Sam, to get back as quickly as he possibly can. And if he's able to, he will certainly join us a little later in the program. But, Sam, I trust you had a great weekend. I did. We're going to kind of dispense with some of the niceties that we normally talk about on a Monday. We have got an action-packed program full of information to communicate. Friends, I want to encourage you, if you have a friend that has not listened to Stand in the Gap Today, you may want to grab your phone, call them, encourage them to tune in for the remainder of the program. We're going to be talking about what took place in Brussels, Belgium over the weekend. A serious and imminent attack is the word that has been used repeatedly. They're still on basic lockdown there. And we're going to talk about what's going on there, why the American people need to be concerned about that. There's also new polling data out that talks about where each of the GOP candidates are. We're going to be delving into some of that in segment two, Lord willing. So we've got a lot to discuss, and we want to encourage you to be a vital part of that by encouraging others to tune in and listen. Sam, before we go to any of that, though, there is a report that just came out just moments ago before we have gone live, and that is this, that U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM as it's called, was pressured to ease off the negative assessments that they were delivering to the White House about the Islamic State threat, and were even, Sam, told in an email to, quote, cut it out. Cut it out. In other words, stop communicating anything negative about the rise of ISIS, about the threat posed by ISIS. There's also another phrase that was used in some of the reporting that Fox has kind of delved into, and that is this. They were told, that is, these security analysts, toe the line, and that is a direct quote. In other words, no more negative material about ISIS. Sam, I'd love to have your thoughts on that.
Well, Dave, I mean, it's bizarre when you think about it, but going right to the heart of the matter, why would the administration, why would Central Command give or have the being ordered to basically send that word out, no, nothing negative? There are only two reasons that I think, Dave. One, number one, there is an intent to withhold the truth. Now, that could be one of two reasons. One, and I've heard it before, I know being in office before, I know there are many who are there who say, do you know what? If we really let the public know all that we know, they may go and do unpredictable things and react negatively and cause us trouble here. So, therefore, we know better than them, and we will manipulate and shape the truth so as to basically keep everybody asleep. That's number one.
I don't mean to interrupt here, but let me ask you, when you say someone, you know, you having served in government, there are entities that would say, we don't want the American public to know the truth, or we don't want the residents of our state to know the truth because they may do something inappropriate. Are you talking about they may be motivated to take up arms? They may cease going shopping and hence a negative economic outcome? What are you talking about when you say they may do certain things?
Well, that's a good question. It's really both. In some cases, I've seen the idea that if things were really told, people would stay home and not go shop, and that, therefore, would then be an impact on tax revenue, that would be an impact on economic issues, that would therefore, or the second thing would be that if you admit to something being the way it is, the reality is, and you have not been saying that before, that someone will then ask the question, when did you know about this? When did you become aware of this? And now you've got an embarrassment factor. Now you've got wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you knew about this last year? And you're just now telling us? We have no time to prepare. We would have done other things, but now we don't know. And therefore, the response is, we don't like what you're doing, and we believe that you need to be replaced. So some of it is self-preservation, but most of it tends to be a selfish thing, but at least it comes down to not really trusting citizens to be able to deal with the facts.
Well, Sam, now you said there's possibly a second motivation behind this, and I kind of interrupted you, and I apologize for that, but go ahead and go into that second motivation.
Well, I think that is that there is an intent to manipulate the truth with the intent that it's not because you are trying to make people feel comfortable and not give them a reason to react, but you are really trying to shape reality. And much of what comes out of federal government, and Frank, we've talked about it here before, there is a gigantic amount of propaganda, what I call reality shaping, that happens out of the highest offices of our federal government, and it's being used by governments around the world. Russian propaganda is immense, but so is American propaganda, immense. We live in a time where frankly, it's very, very difficult to find out exactly what is the truth. So I say it's either truth shaping or it's a reaction to, and it's not wanting people to actually know what's taking place because they would ask the logical question, well, why didn't you tell us about this 6 months ago when you first knew about it?
Well, Sam, according to Pentagon officials, there apparently were some attempts. Now, this is the word that's coming out in this reporting by Fox News. There were some attempts to actually destroy the email communication that was negative relative to ISIS and communicated the truth about the rapid rise of that entity and their ability or their desire, at least, as well as perhaps their ability to attack within the United States. And here's the good part, and if there is a good part to this, and that is this, that the analysts who were told to keep quiet, toe the line, cut it out as far as your negative assessments, when they were told that, that was not well received. And I can imagine that it would not be. Sam, over the weekend, you said that the president made some statements about ISIS with respect to what appeared to be maybe sometime last week, a developing coalition that we might have with the Soviet Union to fight ISIS. And the president made some statements over the weekend that were very unequivocal. That is not where this is going to go. I'd love for you to comment about that.
Well, Dave, that's exactly correct. I mean, we remember the Paris bombing. Obviously, that's out there. After that happened, and the president of France said, all right, we're going to declare war on ISIS, and which he when they immediately went down and started bombing what's there. He had a meeting with Russian President Putin. Now, obviously, the world knows that Putin is down there and really going after them with immense firepower and has said, I'm going to eliminate the terrorists on the ground in the Middle East, because as far as he is concerned, there is no real distinction between a moderate terrorist and an aggressive terrorist. Terrorists are terrorists. So he says, get rid of all of them. The appeal was made, United States will come along with us. Let's join in together. Well, for a while last week, there was some indication by some of the White House spokesmen that, well, you know what, that may be a good idea. We're all opposed to ISIS, after all, aren't we? On Sunday, yesterday, the president came out and disagreed and said, no, we can't go down that road because our greatest objective remains, and this is what has remained, the removal of Assad from the leadership of Syria, not the elimination of ISIS, which is why we have been over there doing who knows what we have been doing, and ISIS has only gotten stronger, and now Russia goes in a few weeks and actually causes something to happen. We've been doing the wrong thing there, Dave. That's the point. We're more concerned about Assad than we are about getting rid of ISIS. That's what the president says.
Well, Sam, this is powerful information. And friends, we've got some other things that we want to share with you. Over the weekend, there was a fascinating statement made by one of our congresswomen with respect to what's going on with ISIS. We're going to delve into that as well as the other information in a power-packed program. Friends, please stay with us following the break. We have some excellent information to communicate to you. And pick up the phone, call a friend, encourage them to join us as well. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of Stand in the Gap today.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
2 months before being elected America's 14th president, his 11-year-old son Benny was killed as their campaign train rolled off the tracks. This happened to Franklin Pierce, who was born this day, November 23, 1804. Elected to Congress at age 29, he was a U.S. Senator at 33. After one term, he resigned and enlisted in the Army as a private. Promoted to Brigadier General, he served in General Winfield Scott's campaign against Mexico City. President Franklin Pierce stated, "It must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble acknowledged dependence upon God and His overruling providence."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Could you help me with this Common Core lesson?
I just can't get it. They are teaching us to use emotional words to get our way.
In my Voices workbook, see this question? My mom always nags me or asks me to clean my room. I chose asks me, and it was wrong. They want me to say she nagged me, but I didn't think that was fair or nice. Why was I wrong?
Oh, honey, you were right. That isn't nice. These Common Core lessons are awful.
Get Common Core out of your state. If you made this your one and only project, you could change the country. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, we want to welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and along with Sam Rohr, we are delighted to be with you today, sharing with you some vitally important information. By the way, we'd encourage you, if you'd like to find out more about this particular program or some of the other programs that are part of the Stand in the Gap Radio Network, we would encourage you to go to our website, which is simply this, standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com, and you can find out a lot more about not only this program, but two other programs that are part of our network. As well, you can find out about a little more about us if you're interested. You're humble hosts of this program. And Sam, it is a delight to be a part of this program and to come every day and share what we believe is powerful, pertinent information with our listening audience. Sam, I want to go directly to what I alluded to prior to the break, and that is this story that over the weekend, a U.S. Congresswoman, basically lit into the administration over what she believes to be their lies to the American people. Let me back up and just kind of set the stage, and then I want to get your comments. Last month, U.S. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard went on CNN and basically, in her words, laid bare Washington's Syria strategy in what proved to be a really phenomenal interview with Wolf Blitzer. Gabbard called Washington's efforts to oust Bashar al-Assad counterproductive and illegal. Ultimately accusing the CIA of arming the very people, the terrorists that the White House insists are our sworn enemies. Well, Sam, all of that was prior to the attacks in Paris. After the attacks in Paris, boy, she's come out, she's pulled the gloves off, and she has literally said basically what's been going on is we've been being lied to as the American people about what our strategy is with respect to this entity called ISIS. Sam, I'm going to tag out, let you pick it up from there and get your comments.
Well, Dave, I think it's a great thing to bring up, because what's happening here is that this congresswoman, who had two tours of duty in the Middle East, so she's not a novice, she's been there, she knows what's going on, has actually teamed up with Austin Scott, a Republican, and introduced legislation last Friday to declare or end what they called an illegal war. The point that they're making is that Congress, she says that Congress never authorized the CIA effort, although covert programs, which is the way this administration has worked, covert programs do not require congressional approval, and therefore it's bypassed that whole thing. However, they have declared a war on ISIS and the militants in the Middle East. So what is occurring is what they're saying, and I happen to agree, that there are two conflicting elements that are a piece here. One is the war against ISIS, the war against the terrorists, and that is something Congress says go do. But the other is, what they're saying, is an illegal war that is being waged by this administration, some in the Pentagon, some in the CIA, to actually dislodge an elected president of a sovereign nation, Syria, being Assad, and that when the president said yesterday, now which is after this article, but when the president said our objective remains not the elimination of ISIS, but the removal of Assad, he is saying exactly what Congressman Gebhard and Adam Scott are, Austin Scott are talking about here on this issue. The point is this, Dave, there are two things that are going on. One is the effort to dislodge Assad, which brings us directly into conflict with Russia, who has an agreement with Assad and Syria on one hand. On the other hand, we are using ISIS, and what they're saying has been supporting the development of, and they agree, and here it's been admitted, over 10,000 individuals trained by the CIA, a proxy war there to actually take down Assad. So how can this administration, Dave, go after hammer and tong ISIS when, in fact, ISIS is there to, at least to some degree, being aided by us to take out Assad? This is an impossible circumstance, Dave.
So, Sam, basically what we're saying, for those that may, you know, not be following this as closely as perhaps they should, what you're saying and what this congresswoman and this congressman are saying by introducing this legislation is basically this tepid response at best. Tepid at best, that we have tried to wage against ISIS. These bombing runs that have been basically, Sam, from my perspective, what I can tell, virtually ineffective. That is because our real motivation, and I say our, I'm talking about the administration, the Obama administration's motivation, has not been first and foremost to stop ISIS, to, as the president said, degrade and destroy them. Our first priority, that is the administration's priority, has been to depose Assad. Using ISIS as an excuse to be in the region.
Dave, absolutely correct. We've commented on this program before. I read from John Kerry. In his comments, he made it very, very clear that our objective, top priority, is removing Assad. But, Dave, this is the problem. And it's commented on by this congressman. This administration has been far more concerned about bringing down independent sovereign states. Now, we may not agree with all these people, but be it a Gaddafi, or be it a Mubarak in Egypt, or be it an Assad in Syria, and prior to him, Bush taking down Saddam in Iraq. In any case, these are entities that were sitting on top of the terrorists. You did not have an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda doing what is now being done when these individuals were sitting on top of them. But I believe, Dave, that the Muslim Brotherhood mentality being emanated by this administration has been far more concerned about creating a vacuum into which militant Islam activity could go forth, and therefore, who knows what, bring up something else, but certainly not something good, but something very evil. And that's partly what this congressman was saying. It's time to call a spade a spade.
Well, you know, Sam, let me just try to frame this in a way, and then I want to ask you a question, Sam. And this is going to go to the heart of the issue. What you're saying is basically this: the takedown of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, who was basically a secularist. You said he was sitting on top of the rabid, you know, radical elements, which he was. Okay, when you take him out of the way, when you take Gaddafi out of Libya, who was basically a secularist, who was sitting on top, capping, keeping under control the rabid, Islamic Muslim Brotherhood elements, when you take those men out of the way, you on purpose have created a vacuum into which is going to flow the rabid religious element, the Ayatollahs, and so on. And what you're saying and what these folks are saying is the same thing is being attempted now in Syria. Sam, I've got two questions to ask. What is the motivation for this administration to do that? Obviously, we could say that Israel's going to be surrounded by rabid Muslim Brotherhood elements if Assad is deposed, like these other countries have had their secular leaders deposed. But is there something beyond that that is the motivation, in your opinion, of our president for following this course of action?
Dave, boy, oh boy. Clearly, what's not being done by this president is advancing the interest of our constitutional republic, the United States of America, and by communicating and defending and working with those who want true liberty and freedom as we've understood it. He's been all about opposing that. So what do you create when you take out individual sovereign leaders of whatever their capacities, they're sitting on top of that? Dave, the only reason you do that is because you're far more concerned about establishing some new control, some new governmental entity sitting over top telling people what to do, or you are married to an ideology that wants to reestablish the caliphate, which is what these guys are attempting to do. And frankly, all of those Muslim states over there, Iran wants the caliphate. Saudi Arabia wants to be in a position when the Mahdi comes back. But these guys, the Islamic, the ISIS and so forth, they just happen to be the aggressive edge of an ideology that all wants the same thing. The void creates the opportunity for a caliphate to be established. Dave, I don't know how else to phrase it.
Well, Sam, let me. I'm not trying to paint you into a corner here, but you use the word Mahdi, which is in Islamic theology. The Mahdi is the end time peacemaker that they believe will come on the world stage. I believe he is what the scripture would call the Antichrist. We're not going to go into all of that, but they do have an end time theology. They do have an end time eschatology. Sam, if what we're saying here is true, if what is now being suspected by a growing number of people in the media, Sam, over the weekend, I don't know if you heard this, but there were a number of people that posed a question similar to what I'm going to pose to you, and that is this: what is the motivation of the president? Is he in any way complicit? Is he in any way supportive of? Is he in any way desirous of the very thing that he is saying with his lips that we are against, and that is the caliphate that you describe, an Islamic caliphate in the Middle East? Is he complicit? Does he want that or not?
Dave, I cannot talk to the motivation of the heart, but I think we are fair to evaluate the choices and the actions and the policies that have emanated. And the policies that have emanated and been furthered by this administration has furthered the caliphate. It has furthered division. It has furthered the enemies of Israel. It has furthered all of the things that are opposed to the principles and the goals of our historic United States. That is true.
Sam, powerful statement. And friends, I want you to stay tuned following the break. We'll be back with some additional information. But friends, this is important. The truth about the motivations behind the current administration seemingly now are beginning to seep through the cracks. And hopefully we'll get to the truth at some point relative to what this president has been trying to do, what this administration's been trying to do. But stay tuned following the break. We're going to be talking a little bit about the relationship of all the GOP candidates following the break. So stay tuned for more Stand in the Gap today.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. While the Department of Homeland Security says there are no credible terrorist threats that could foul up the Thanksgiving holiday, one congressman thinks the administration's downplaying the danger Americans are facing.
This is the worst example of leadership in a wartime situation. It is important to instill confidence in the American people. That is important. But you don't do it by saying it's not a real threat.
New York GOP Representative Peter King, the capital of Belgium, remains on high alert for possible Paris-style attacks following a busy weekend for security forces.
22 raids after dark last night here in Brussels, some again this morning, and a total of 21 people arrested around the city. Streets around the capital were shut down yesterday, including in the centre, and people were told to get off the streets. Helicopters flew overhead, and the media were asked not to report specifics until after the raids were finished.
Fox's Benjamin Hall in Brussels. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of two men or two women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Sam Rohr, this is David Kistler, and we're privileged and honored to be your host today. And again, I want to encourage you, if you would like to know more about this program or the other two programs that are part of the Stand in the Gap radio family, please go to our website, which is simply this, standinthegapradio.com. You can learn about this program as well as a program called Stand in the Gap Minute, which is a program that Sam does, an outstanding commentary, just hitting it in 60 seconds, dealing with some pertinent issue relative to what's going on in our culture. And then there's a great program called Stand in the Gap Weekend, hosted by Sam Rohr and Gary Dull, that if you've not yet had a chance to listen to, I would encourage you to do that. But that's all part of the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. So please go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, find out more about what God is doing through the American Pastors Network, and specifically this ministry called Stand in the Gap Radio. Sam, over the weekend, Donald Trump got into a little bit of hot water, I guess is the way I would describe it, by advocating, or at least suggesting, that there maybe should be a registry for all Muslims in the United States of America so that they can be tracked. Their intent could maybe be a little more easily discovered. He also talked about monitoring of mosques and so on. Sam, you're a former legislator. You're a man who loves the Lord. You love the Word of God. You love liberty. Do you see any problems with what Trump is suggesting about this registry or this monitoring of Muslim mosques?
Dave, as soon as you walk down the road of monitoring or categorizing citizens based on what they believe, you're in desperately deep trouble. On the other hand, if in fact you walk down the road of identifying people who are actually preaching treason, an undermining of our Constitution, destruction, killing, murder of infidels, which I know is taught in many mosques. I have watched undercover videos in some cases of things being done in certain mosques around our country. And so are those who are in positions of authority. Now, at that point, you have something that's different. I can say that during the war with Adolf Hitler, when millions were killed, that if there was someone here in this country who was a Nazi sympathizer, it was a Jew hater and a Jew killer, if they were in fact plotting here, they were part of an enemy combatant. And as a result, they were viewed differently than just someone who held to a different view necessarily of life. They were actively involved. The thing that makes that what Donald Trump talks about difficult is that you have to very carefully balance the First Amendment protections.
Yes, Sam, it's a two-edged sword, is it not? I mean,
yes, it is.
If we're going to be monitoring, you know, Muslims, and again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I don't want anyone listening. I know, Sam, you don't misunderstand because you know my heart and you know how I feel about this. But obviously, we have a problem. We have an Islamic ideology problem, not just globally, but we have it here in the United States of America. And if we can prevent people from perpetrating horrific acts of terror like what took place in Paris, France, a little over a week and a half ago, if we can prevent that, certainly we want to prevent that. However, the flip side of that sword is at what point does what we believe and what we proclaim, if it becomes so politically incorrect, at what point is that deemed dangerous and hence would become monitored and then eventually some law enacted against? And I know you know where I'm going, Sam.
Well, I do, because, Dave, we know, everybody who's listening to this program knows that many times over the past years, lists have shown up, be it from Homeland Security or others who have identified what they term to be terrorists. Well, who's on that list?
Yeah, domestic terror groups, and we're on that list.
See, that's exactly correct. So when in fact you are interpreting truth, not through the eyes of Scripture, but whatever you want to make it to be, whenever you are not following the Constitution, which is the rule of law civilly in this country, but following something else, the interpretation of these things can come absolutely, totally separated. And that's what we, in fact, Dave, that's what we are witnessing. But if you know that in certain centers there are training camps. If you know that the mosque, or for instance, as an example, are actually training and encouraging people on how to undercut and to weaken this nation of which they are here, then is not that, in fact, something that rises to the level of, well, not just treason, but, I mean, it would be called that. It's now not just a religious viewpoint. It's an action that takes a political, ideological threat to the undermining who we are. So if we're fighting them on that side of the world, and somebody is here teaching the same thing, how can you not connect? But it's very, very critical on how, in fact, it would be done.
Yeah, it's a tightrope. There's no question about it. Those that would want to protect America, which we all do, it's a tightrope that we walk. Sam, let me transition here just very, very quickly here in this third segment. Over the weekend, some new polling data came out, one of which was this piece of information, and that is this. 67% of Americans are against. 67% of Americans are against bringing any Syrian refugees into the country over the next year. The 10,000 that the president, that's the figure the president uses. We believe it's way higher than that. But 67% of Americans are against bringing any of these refugees into America without, you know, slowing the process down and more thoroughly vetting them. Along with that piece of information, Sam, over the weekend, the new polling data for the GOP candidates is as follows. Donald Trump has a 10-point lead over his closest rival. He now is in top spot. I'm speaking of Donald Trump at 28%. And the next closest person is Ben Carson at 18%. That is a drop down for Ben from 23%. And it's a 2-point uptick for Trump. He was at 26% in the last poll prior to the attack in Paris. He's now gone up 2%. Ben Carson has dropped from 23 to 18. And here's what's interesting to me. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are both up respectively 3 percentage points each, and they're hovering at 14% each. Now, Sam, here's my question. Do you believe post-attack in Paris, the reason there is an uptick for Donald Trump and perhaps a decline in Ben Carson and also an uptick for Cruz and Rubio is because of the way these men have framed the discussion relative to terrorism? Donald Trump has been Donald Trump. He's come out and he's just been unequivocal in what he's said. He's been very, very strong. He's talked about bombing these people, dealing with them aggressively, dealing with them thoroughly. Do you believe that his comments are the reason for his uptick, and maybe Ben Carson being perceived as being weak or weaker is the reason for his downturn?
Well, Gary, I mean, Dave, I think that's exactly correct. I think it's very clear by all of the trends, all of the polls that are saying that force, that response of strength in the face of an attack, in face of attack, of threats against us. People are responding to that because, to one degree, that exhibits leadership of an equal and a response to what is being said. And that's part of the problem why people have such a problem with our president, who can't even say we have an enemy and name it. So people are fed up with that. I do believe that goes right to the heart of why these individuals have come up in these poll numbers.
Well, Sam, let me ask this. We have just a couple of minutes left before we have to go into the break. But right now, it appears because what happened in Paris, what happened in Mali, what's taking place, we're going to talk about it a little bit in the last segment, and that's what took place over the weekend in Brussels, Belgium. Because of all of that, foreign policy, national security, those are at the top of the list, I think, in people's minds and in their hearts. But that's right now. Sam, do you see any indication that by the time we get to November of 2016 and the general elections are held, do you believe at that time foreign policy, national security still going to be at the top of the list, or do you think we'll see a waning in that in the minds of the American people?
I see no waning at all occurring, Dave, and the reason for it is that the ideology of those who are disrupting, the mentality right now of even this administration to create division and to knock off state leaders and that kind of thing, which is exactly what's happening, these things do not lead to a greater sense of a peace. They lead to further unrest. So I do believe that the unrest that we're seeing at this juncture, because we're not going to the heart of the issue, is only going to be fueled and go forward. So it's going to be the debate now, and it's going to be an increased level of debate, I believe.
Well, Sam, I'm in 100% agreement with you. I don't see anything that would tell me that there's going to be a decline on the part of the American people as far as their interest in national security, their interest in foreign policy. I believe it's going to be the issue coming up in November of 2016. So, friends, pay attention as you listen to the statements made by these candidates, as you are observing their responses to these terror events. Pay close attention, because you're going to have to make a choice at some point relative to who you believe would be the best commander-in-chief, the one that would keep America the most safe. And so the time to begin paying attention to all of that is right now. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about what took place over the weekend in Brussels, Belgium. The city of Brussels is still in lockdown. And friends, well over a year ago, I began talking about something that I want to share with you following the break, and that is this, something that was said by a Muslim imam in Brussels, Belgium, that is now proving to be true. Come back after the break. We'll be back. Hope you'll join us for more Stand in the Gap today.
Do you have a 401k and are unsure what to do with it? Are your retirement savings actively managed? Hi, this is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
"Without God, liberty will not last," a quote from Thomas Jefferson.
In Psalm 39:7, King David said, "My hope is in the Lord." David's hope wasn't some idle wish. It was a solid confidence that kept him going in the worst of times. Where's your hope? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Having a fixed and certain hope in the Lord is beyond value and measure in our walk with God. It's said that if you take away a man's wealth, you'll hinder him. If you take away a man's purpose, you'll slow him. But if you take away a man's hope, you'll stop him. That's why our personal walk with God must be more than theory. It must be more than a once-a-week prayer or an occasional Bible reading. Our walk with God must revolve around the person of Jesus Christ and a daily walk led of the Spirit of God, not of our ambitions, our goals, or our finances. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network. Can you say with the psalmist, "I will be unmoved because my hope is in the Lord"?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. We are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, again, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. And this is Dave Kistler, and along with Sam Rohrer, we have been privileged to be your host today. Dr. Gary Dull, who is normally with us, has been away with another issue he's had to deal with, and he will be back with us tomorrow, I'm sure. But it's been a delight to have you aboard. Sam, I want to go to what's been going on in Brussels, Belgium over the weekend. For the entire weekend, basically, the city of Brussels, the country of Belgium, has been paralyzed with fear over what they have been saying, and I say they, the authorities in Belgium, have been saying is going to be an imminent and serious terror attack. Thankfully, up to this point, nothing has occurred. But Sam, well over a year ago, I came across a wonderful video produced by CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, and I'm going to give the way to go to this video so that our listening audience can watch it. If you just Google Belgistan, B-E-L-G-I-S-T-A-N, Belgistan, Sharia showdown looms in Brussels. Sharia showdown looms in Brussels. In that clip done by Dale Hurd, who is a reporter for CBN News, he interviews an imam by the name of Abu Imran. And Sam, this imam says throughout this brief clip that the way of Islam and Sharia law is going to be the future of Brussels and the future of the entire country of Belgium. It's going to be the future of that country. Toward the end of the clip, he is asked, what could be done to stop it? And here's what he says. If those that are opposed to Islam want to start marrying four wives and having a multiplicity of children, then perhaps, emphasis on perhaps you could stop us. But he said, to be honest with you, there is no stopping of Islam's advance in the country of Belgium and in the city of Brussels. Sam, I want to ask you a question. What we saw over the weekend, this looming threat by ISIS or whoever, it's a Muslim threat. What we saw going on in the city of Brussels and the country of Belgium, is that a radical Islamic problem or is it, Sam, an Islam problem?
Gary, Dave, I keep calling you Gary. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's a good name to be called.
I know. It's an Islam problem at its root. Now, but to show how, well, let's put it this way, how leaders of the world seem not to be able to get it. Yesterday, Prince Charles from England comes out and he makes this statement. He just made the statement that the root cause of the Syrian war, which is what we're talking about, and the rise of ISIS, the root cause is climate change.
Mm.
And until we go to the root problem, meaning it's the environment due to climate change, we're not going to be able to address this matter. To hear someone of that magnitude, of that leadership, Dave, is why we're having such great difficulty in ascertaining what's really at the heart of it when those who are a part of this attempt to bring the fall of the West, including Europe and including us, as that imam was that you stated, they have been very clear. We will come and we will outbirth rate you. We will slowly take over. When we reach our 10%, then we will come alive. This is not some wild-eyed philosophy. This is their ideology. It's a strategy, and to ignore it is to ignore it to our peril.
You know, Sam, I've talked with my wife just in recent days about this. I want to ask you this question. It appears to me, and if I'm wrong, I'm open to be corrected, Sam. I don't think I'm wrong, but if I am, please tell me that. I'll take it and take it like a man. But it seems as if the Islamic world attached something incredibly significant to the election of Barack Obama as president of the United States of America. They attached something to that. And it seems like there has been a coming out of the woodwork, as it were, of Muslim entities, of Islamic organizations. They have come out of the woodwork and they've begun demanding their rights. There's never a slight against the Prophet Muhammad, but what there is a reaction to it, sometimes a violent reaction to it, verbally or sometimes physically a violent reaction. Do you believe the Islamic world attached something significant to the election of Barack Obama as president of the United States?
Well, I mean, they said they did. And I don't have the quotes in front of me, but I know we've all read them. They actually did believe and do believe that that he is favorable. And the fact of the matter is, everything we've been talking about would indicate by actions, by policies, that in fact he has been more favorable to Muslim ideology than he has Christian belief. Been more favorable to inviting in Muslim refugees than he has those who are being persecuted for their Christian faith in the Middle East and African countries. There tends to be a blind eye turned to them. These actions, these policies would telegraph to anyone that there is a very strong allegiance, and it's not to Judaism, and it's not to Christianity.
You know, Sam, before he was taken away from us, Muammar Gaddafi made this statement when asked, is President Obama, I think the way the question was posed to him was not is he Islamic friendly, but is President Obama Muslim? And Gaddafi made this statement. His name says it all. So, you know, again, you know, that was just a statement made by him. There's a multiplicity of things we could cite, as you well said, that would lead us to believe that at the very least, President Obama is very friendly and sympathetic toward Islamic ideology and very anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-Judaism. Let me ask this, Sam, two questions, and I know we've got just a couple of minutes for you to answer them, but what can be done? It appears obvious that our president is not going to have the backbone. He doesn't maybe even have the motivation or the desire to try to stop the advance of Islam and the evil ideology that is Islam throughout the United States. So what can be done by those in Congress? And then number two, what can be done by those of us who are committed followers of Jesus Christ? What can we do to stop the advance of Islam?
Dave, there's two things. Those in Congress who understand what their constitutional oath is all about must do as these congressmen that we cited, even earlier in this program, stand up and say what is the truth and say we're going to defend our constitutional oath before we support public policy that is getting us in trouble overseas. That's a simple one. For us, what we can do as God's people, we have got to be understanding that we are at war with an enemy that wants our destruction, number one. Number two, God is more powerful than any of them. Are we, though, living in a condition in our own lives obedient to him so that when we pray, God hears our prayer? Dave, that is my concern, that those who know the truth actually practice it. If we do, when we call upon God, he will hear us.
You know, friends, as Elisha said to his servant, those that be with us are more than those that be with them. We serve the true and living God, the powerful God of the universe. And as Sam well said, if we will humble ourselves and pray and genuinely seek God's face in genuine repentance, God can hear our petitions and this thing can be turned around. We stand up, we speak the truth, we do what's right, we do it humbly before a righteous and holy God. Friends, thank you for joining us today. Encourage you to be back in 23 hours for our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.